On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, we talk about the Kucherov situation, the Bolts loss to Florida, and other news around the league. Stay tuned. Season 3, Episode 6 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson, Chase Croshaw with me. Chase, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. We're trying some new stuff today, aren't we? So, not necessarily on Bolts broadcast, but we did get a new boom arm for Chase. He's going to be playing around with that. A little different feel for him. And then with WNP, we're going to be trying to do a little video stuff. So if that goes successfully, then we'll probably bring some video stuff to the Bolts broadcast as well. But I'm doing really well, and I am a little sad because of the game against Florida, but it's early in the season. We talked about it last episode. It's no big deal when you take a couple losses. So we're going to be going over that game, going to be talking the Kucherov situation, of course. We got to look at the Sabres, too, after the commercial break because something weird is going on over there, but before we do all that, let's just send our best wishes, thoughts, and prayers out to Mike Bossy.
Yeah, so recently, I think it just came out yesterday as of us recording, so Tuesday, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to Mike Bossy, your family. Hopefully, you know, everything goes well. You get a speedy recovery, have no issues, and you can continue to live a long life.
Absolutely. Prayers out to him. And as someone who has had family run through, family that has had cancer run through the line, you know, it's a tough thing to deal with, so I can only imagine what him and his family are going through, but we're hoping that he gets out okay. Let's move on to Kucherov. He is moving on to the LTIR, Chase. We knew he had some injuries, but now that he's actually getting moved out, we got to free up cap again, and I'm sure that people are going to be coming for our heads again saying, oh, we're cheating the system and all that crap.
Well, if they want to act that way yet again, we can laugh at them for being stupid because it's just nonsense to try to bitch about that and try and say, oh, they're cheating the system. Well, they were under the cap ceiling anyway. Even if this was truly cheating, they were under the cap ceiling anyway throughout the year, and now he's on IR because he can't play. So, whip-de-doo, suck it up, deal with it. It just means that we're going out to trade for Jack Eichel right now. So, look for Jack Eichel coming to the Tampa Bay Lightning. He can sit out all season. Just wait till the playoffs. Kucherov can come back around Olympic time. Jack Eichel steps in the lineup, and then we go on and win every game in the playoffs.
And that situation right there would make people cry because then we would be over the cap ceiling as we go into the playoffs and take everyone off. But who cares?
It would be an absolute nightmare in the offseason trying to figure that out.
Oh, yeah.
But for now, who cares? Figure it out.
Just go for a three-peat.
That'd be fantastic. You sacrifice what you can to win a championship. So, you know, if you got to do what you got to do, then you got to do what you got to do.
I don't know how that would get done, though. And I saw Big Cat on Barstool. He tweeted something similar, and everyone was just ripping him for the idea. But he said something very similar to the point of get them and just worry about what you have to do in the offseason after you're celebrating your third Stanley Cup. So what would we have to do to get Jack Eichel? I mean, right now, with me looking at it, I don't think there's even a way to get Jack Eichel on this Tampa Bay team. But for some reason, let's say there is, what would we have to do?
Well, to do it without losing like many key roster pieces, let's think here. Like, you would need, you know, a Callan Foote and a Taylor Radish plus the next two or three first round picks, and then still it's probably like not even close because like they've talked about before they want like at least one true like key roster player, and Lightning are not really in a position to give up a key roster player for that. Like, they could in order for the salary, you know, if they want like an Alex Killorn, sure, be my guest. But, you know, reality is that wouldn't be what would happen. They would want Cirelli, they'd want Brain Point, and like those guys aren't being moved anytime soon. So really, it's not happening. Like, I would safely say it's a 0% chance that it happens. They're not even thinking about offering anything there. But, you know, if there was to be something figured out, it would just, they would have to overwhelm them with draft picks. It's really all you can do. Just send as many as you can in the next coming years, as well as however many prospects that you can. That's all you can do.
Yeah, so I don't see that happening, but a Jack Eichel trade could be happening sooner than later. Emily Kaplan talked about it on The Point, said that there's been a lot more conversations amongst teams with the Buffalo Sabres and all the teams that are still in the conversation on getting Jack Eichel have agreed that if they do end up getting Jack Eichel, they're going to do the surgery that Jack wants, not the surgery that Buffalo is demanding he gets.
I mean, that's what makes sense. It's really stupid that Buffalo is just like sitting so firm on this. Like it's really just a pissing contest at this point. Yeah. It's nothing about what they want anymore. It's just about them wanting to be right and wanting control. And you're just bending yourself over in this one. Like, you're just putting yourself in a bad situation. So, you know, I don't know if it's the Pegula's doing or if it's Kevin Adams doing. It's one of those two. They really just need to decide, all right, we've taken too many L's here. We got to stop taking these. We're just paying this guy $10 million to sit at home and relax. We're done with this. Go get your surgery and let us get you the hell out of here.
And I know we've said it for, I think, I don't know, 10 straight episodes, but we're hoping next episode we can come back to you and let you know that Jack Eichel is in a different situation, but probably not going to be the case.
Almost zero chance.
All right. Well, Chase, Kucherov on LTIR. What does that mean for the Tampa Bay Lightning? We were without him last season, but we had a lot of depth. We weren't going through a big change. This offseason, we go through a lot of roster changes. We lose the likes of Blake Coleman, Barclay Gaudreau, and other guys. So now with Kucherov on LTIR, we're going to need these young kids to really step up. What do you expect from the team?
Yeah, and John Cooper said that he already wasn't going to miss as many games as last year. He missed 56 last year. So, you know, he should be out for maybe half the year. So it's really just about having guys step up and fill in for possibly 40 games.
Which is still a big chunk.
Yeah, it is, but... With the goaltending, with the defensive core, and with the firepower that's up front, how Stamkos has been playing so far this year, it shouldn't be too much of a concern, you know, as long as a guy like Taylor Radish can, you know, start getting on the score sheet a little more often. If he can provide a little more offense, you know, that'd be great, and, you know, it'd be awesome to have Alex Barboulet still in a situation like this, because he's someone who, right now, would have that role in the top six just waiting for him. Like, he'd probably be playing top line, like he did that spot duty last year. So, really, with the guys on the roster now, it's just... It's kind of like what they did in Moneyball. You know, in Moneyball, they tried to add three players together to combine for the on-base percentage of the one player that left. And it's really kind of the same thing. If you can get three players that can combine for the same goal and point prowess that Kucherov would offer, then you'll probably be all right.
And currently sitting at 2-2, I am just hoping that we can stay in that wild card race without him, because coming back, we're going to be back to our normal Tampa Bay Lightning high firepower type of team. So... hoping to stay in that wild card range. If we drop out just a little bit, I won't be too worried, but I do expect to still be in the hunt as Kucherov is returning. Chase, let's now move on over to the Florida Panthers-Tampa Bay Lightning game. Dude, you jinxed us. You talked about how good the power play was and how great the team was scoring, and we come out and go 0-for-6 on the power play. Not something you want to see, especially against an in-state, in-division rival.
Yeah, it sucks, but, I mean, it happens.
Like, it's your fault, Chase.
There's 82 games a year. This happens. Spencer Knight played incredibly well. Another rookie, Anton Lundell, got his first career goal. Played fantastic. He's a hell of a player. Really, it's just one of those games. Florida's a very good team now. You know, they really... haven't had a lot of these teams in their history, so they're finally here. You know, good for them. That's great. But we're still the better team. We're still the better team historically. We're currently the better team, and they just happened to get advantage of this one.
And you came out last season, and we've talked about it together this season, that Anton Lundell could be a guy who's in the running for Rookie of the Year. This night, he played exceptionally well, had an assist and a goal, first of his career in both categories. The goal he had with Sam Reinhart, just beautiful tic-tac-toe, fooled Vasilevsky. You don't like to see it on the side of the Tampa Bay Lightning, but it was a pretty goal. I got to be honest about that. So what do we expect when we see Florida next? Are we expecting a same just incredible Anton Lundell, or do you think the tape can really I don't know, help us in some fashion to shut him down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. He's a rookie, and rookies go through a lot of ups and downs in their rookie years. It's very rare that a rookie is just constantly on and up. So he's going to have down spots. It really just kind of depends where he is at the time. If he's having a down spot, you don't have to do anything. You just kind of play your game. If he's in a kind of an up spot, like how he looked against, like how he looked in this game, if he continues to look like that, well, then you got to kind of game plan a little differently. You know, like you use the same kind of shutdown tactics on him that you would for Barkov. You know, the best you can. It's not really shutting those guys down. It's just trying to minimize as much damage, and that's really kind of all you can do. If Lundell's playing that well, it's really going to be a defensive effort in the next game. It's going to have to be that kind of win. I would assume Spencer Knight plays, you know, again, too. I just got to assume he's going to be, like, the main starter for most of this year. So they run a Spencer Knight again. If he's hot, then, you know, a hot goalie is just hard to beat is what it is. But you're just going to try to, you know, try to get him moving, get him working up a sweat, get him tired. I mean, that's really all you can do.
And our next game is Saturday against the Colorado Avalanche, a team that is very, very highly touted coming into this year. The betting odds favorite for the Stanley Cup. However, they're off to a somewhat slow start, sitting at 1-2 as of recording.
Because they suck.
They are -3 in the goal differential category. So what do you expect from this game? I mean, two teams that are expected to be the top dogs, but are both coming out a little bit slower than what was expected.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, they'll have Landeskog back. I don't know what McKinnon's deal is, so who knows about that. But
well, he's probably, like, eating cabbage or something.
Oh, yeah, true. Good point. He probably had a little too much dirt, got a little E. coli issue going on. That's fair. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it is, but, yeah, he's only played a game. I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to Colorado, to be honest with you. But it's still going to be a tough game regardless. I mean, the goaltending is really where you got to try to get them. I would assume that Kemper is going to get the start. You know, it could be Frank Kuz, but I would just assume it's going to be Kemper. Just if you can pepper them and just kind of minimize the offense guys that they are going to have for sure playing, like Rantanen, you know, he should be in the lineup. Nazem Kadri should be. Andre Burakovsky, those guys, there's some good offensive weapons. And, of course, Cam McCarr in the back end. If you can just kind of keep those guys minimalized as much as you can on the ice, then you'll be fine.
We're going to need Andrei Vasilevsky to step up big, because I think as of right now, without Nikita Kucherov, if we're going toe-to-toe against this Tampa Bay or against this Colorado offense, it's going to be tough. You got Braden Point and Steven Stamkos, both tremendous players. Anthony Cirelli really stepped up this past year. But do we have that great depth scoring that we had last year? Right now, I don't know. So I think Vasilevsky, he's just got to prove that he's the better goalie in this one, so we'll see what they can do. But when we look at the standings overall, Chase, didn't expect this, but Florida is first in the Atlantic. Then you have Buffalo, Detroit, Toronto, and Ottawa is fifth, with our Tampa Bay Lightning currently sitting sixth. What is it with teams that weren't expected to be as good doing really well this season, especially San Jose, too, in the Pacific? They're doing really well.
It's just the beginning of the year. It's all it is. This happens all the time. And I saw a stat in 2018, Buffalo started 17-6-2, missed the playoffs subsequently. You know, it really is just the way she goes sometimes. It's really all I can say. Like, Buffalo's not going to be a playoff team at the end of the year. Detroit is very, 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 very likely to be a playoff team. San Jose's pretty much got no chance to be a playoff team. You know, like it just... it's just kind of the way it goes sometimes. Like, you could get off to a hot start, and then all of a sudden you get, you know, back in the rhythm of the game. Guys are kind of back to where they're supposed to be, you know, playing at their actual true level, and then all of a sudden you're losing, you know, 5-6 games in a row.
And, Chase, before we go to a quick commercial break, we should probably talk about the Evander Kane situation.
Oh, yeah.
He's out, what was it, 21 games he got suspended for. I saw some people joking out there that the NHL originally said 11 games, and he said, "Hit me." I mean, come on. I mean, a little funny, but come on, Twitter. I don't want to be seeing that.
That is pretty funny.
Just the bad situation of Evander Kane and that San Jose locker room continues.
Yeah. He really, like, it came out in this offseason that he really wasn't much of a favorite in the locker room anyway, and San Jose players didn't really want him around, so maybe the suspension is for the best. Especially if he did what he's accused of, like, then this is, you know, deserving. He broke the NHL protocol and rules, and you got to face consequences when something like that happens. So when he comes back, you know, we'll see what happens, see if he's going to be part of the San Jose Sharks this year, see if he's going to get traded, see what the hell's going to happen, because who the hell knows?
All right, Chase, we're going to head to a quick commercial break. On the other side, going to be talking some NHL news, but also some prospect stuff. You know, we're big prospect guys, so wanted to talk about the NHL Central Scouting list of players to watch. NFL fans, hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't yet available in your state, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And we're back. Shout out to DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. If you got to do any type of betting, any type of bets, whether it be NFL, NHL, NBA coming back, the MLB playoffs in full swing, make sure to head over to DraftKings. But, Chase, we talked a little bit about teams surprising, Buffalo being one of the main ones there. We know they're without Jack Eichel, but they started 3-0. They also have the highest expected goals for in the league. That means big things. It's not just a rare stat that really no one cares about, like, that actually means they're playing really well.
Yeah, it means it's not a fluke. It means they're truly outplaying everybody else in the league at the moment. You know, their schedule starts off, you know, maybe a little bit easy, starting off with Montreal, Arizona, the Vancouver. But it really doesn't diminish anything. It's still the NHL. They're still elite athletes, still elite hockey players. And they're playing incredibly well. And they've got, like, just, you know, pieces here and there that could be good players. Rasmus Dahlin, I just saw a graphic today from one of my guys at Hockey Prospecting. So he his like charts that like come out, the first two like star players out of the 2018 draft, so guys that officially, you know, have reached that like level of play based on the analytics, you know, so like the information's out now. And of course, Rasmus Dahlin and Andrei Svechkov are the two guys. Everyone was saying, oh my God, Rasmus Dahlin's horrible, and they're trying to use him a forward in the offseason. When no, he was just being used wrong by a horrible, horrible coach last year. And now they have a new coach in. The team is playing well. You know, Rasmus Dahlin's got 2 assists on the year for 3 games. I don't know how he's playing defensively, but I got to imagine at least all right since the team's doing well. So, you know, when you look at individual pieces like him, you know, even a Casey Mittelstadt is a guy who had, you know, higher expectations as an NHLer, but, you know, has kind of underwhelmed. Tage Thompson's coming and played pretty well. Rasmus Asplund is a guy I really like. They've got these nice young individual pieces, but it's just nothing like there to really round out the team. You know, if Jack Eichel was there, you know, maybe different situation. Maybe if they also didn't have a 40-year-old Craig Anderson, you know, like he's going to wear down at some point throughout the year. But, like you can tell the pieces are there to kind of go in the right direction.
Another young player that I know you didn't necessarily love coming out of the draft, but Dylan Cousins, a guy who has used very high draft capital was used on him. He's playing somewhat well right now, 2 assists through 3 games. But the superstar of the team so far, the Latvian Zemgus Girgensons, 2 goals, 2 assists through 3 games. This is a guy who made the All-Star game, what was it, 6-7 years ago?
Yeah.
And he really had quite the downfall, only really seen as a bottom six forward. And this year, he's coming back for a vengeance. He wants to make it back to the All-Star game. I love seeing players such as Zemgus Girgensons, the Latvian beauty, coming back and having a great performance.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely great. You love to see it. And then going back off of that Dylan Cousins thing real quick. Yeah, you know, I still didn't love him in his draft position. Thought he was going to be an NHLer. I would have taken him in the first round. Just I thought there was better players ahead of him. He's playing a little better than I expected. So, you know, like more power to him, credit to him, good for him. Then another guy I want to mention real quick, Colin Miller. He's got 4 points in 3 games. I can't imagine that holds up either. So a lot of these guys are just, they are performing really well and at rates that they're not going to be able to keep up. Like, let's be honest, Girgensons isn't finishing point per game as much as we might want him to. So we're going to see things slow down here probably within the next couple games.
Probably same with Okposo and maybe Jeff Skinner too. Both of them currently scoring at a point per game.
Yeah, Kyle Okposo is, as the kids say, very terrible at hockey. And that is not maintaining.
Let's see. When was the last time he had a real successful season? I guess 17-18, he had 44 points through 76 games. It's not bad. But yeah, since then, it's really fallen off for him. I don't really know. This was a signing that you and I said that this is just not going to end well. I think really that 2016 offseason where you saw him, Franz Nielsen, Andrew Ladd, all of those huge contracts, I think a lot of people knew from the start they were not going to end well.
Yeah, and I mean, we might just be geniuses knowing that this one and all the others are going to be terrible and some other guys, you know. But I know just a lot of people thought they were bad contracts. But it's kind of what you do in free agency. You kind of got to overpay. You really don't have much of a choice.
Yeah. I don't know. All right, let's move on. Talk about Team Russia, as a former Russian NHL star has been named the GM of Team Russia.
Ilya Kovalchuk, the legend himself. Yeah, the former high draft pick of the Atlanta Thrashers. He is going to be picking the Olympic team. You know, like, at least have a big say in picking the Olympic team for Team Canada this upcoming year. Got to imagine it's going to be primarily NHLers, maybe one or two KHLers, maybe Pavel Datsyuk gets a bone thrown to him, maybe Vadim Shchevchev makes the team, but otherwise it'll be NHLers. You know, the NHL, the only Russians over here are the star players anyway. So, but regardless, it doesn't matter. Still kind of cool. Just kind of getting right out of playing right into that, you know, like level of hockey, like managing wise, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I did not see this coming, I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's a little bit random. But
I figured that he might still try to like actually make the team as a player, let alone be the GM.
Maybe he will. Maybe he'll be a player GM.
That'd be something fun.
That would be something.
You just see him and their president over there, my boy Vladimir Putin. They're back on the ice together.
Hey, man. I mean, in the Fed, which is the FPHL, the Federal Prospects Hockey League, it's very low-level pro hockey. Like, there's teams where the whole coaching staff is players. Like, they're all player coaches. So, like, you know, maybe it could be done in the Olympics.
Do you think that... So, we know the stories about how Vladimir Putin, he'll play with hockey players from Russia, and they'll just let him be the best player on the ice.
Yeah.
Do you think that he would ever join Team Russia and see if other people around the world would do that?
I would, like, at that point...
Canada, let Putin score, or else he's going to nuke you or something.
I would tell the USA to call Justin Abdicator, tell him he can come out of retirement, and he can just go run over Vladimir Putin. Because, you know, he's played for Team USA in the past. He can go be a leader on that team, be a good guy, and someone who's got nothing left to give. He can use all of his energy on one hit to just obliterate him.
Russia is crazy. Although, I would want to go to Russia. Check out the scenery and all.
Yeah, that. There's something like you know, like Moscow, St. Petersburg. Those cities would be cool cities, but then you get to like Metalurg and you get like up near Serbia, Croatia area. Like it's just shit. It's just nothing but snow.
Okay, let's be nice here. We don't want them listening in, nuking us. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about NHL Central Scouting. They released a players to watch list. There's some names on here that, Chase, I think you would agree with them having the correct grade, such as Shane Wright, Matt Savoy, both getting A grades. But then there's also some players on here that you think should be graded a little bit higher and or a little bit lower.
Yeah, so the first one, Seamus Casey, I would argue that maybe he's my number one defenseman overall in this draft class right now. If not, he's no lower than top three. Given a B grade, I just can't see it. I got to imagine he's a pretty safe top 10 pick this year. You know, another name, David Goyette, he's going to play in the OHL this year for Sudbury. He's someone who, like, he's kind of like borderline, so I'm okay with him being a B, but, you know, maybe he could be a little higher. He's got some solid ability. Cruz Lucius, his brother Chaz Lucius, was just a high pick last year. He's someone who, another kind of similar situation where, like, maybe he could get there, but right on the hand. But overall, I mean, the list isn't too bad, you know. I don't want to like worry about someone being ranked a B or a C instead, you know, just like at the end of the day, that difference isn't huge, but you know, the A to B, is a little bit different. One name that, in the A that kind of, I don't know about is just Ryan Chesley. You know, that's one I could be pretty wrong on, but he plays at NTDP. He's also just not a guy that I've like seen a whole lot on. So I could just be kind of misinformed, but yeah, this looks like a pretty solid draft class. I mean, there could, you know, be 5-6 guys that can make the jump right away, honestly. It's like that from what we're seeing thus far.
And then Rutger McGroarty, who committed to Michigan recently, So Michigan's going to have a pretty dominant
team.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
He's sitting at B.
Yeah, I missed him. Good call. Good call.
You're welcome. And you obviously think that he should be a lot higher. Going to be a guy who could be vying for a top 10, maybe even top 5 pick.
Yeah, me watching him play, like, I would lock him into my top 10 in this draft class. Like, I really don't think it's much of a question. This guy's just got incredible offensive ability. You know, he's playing at the program, as you just said. He recently committed to Michigan. So, obviously, he's not going to be playing the Michigan team this year, but next year there should still be a decent amount of guys around. And, like, he's had success. He was playing per game with the U-17s. He was, you know, slightly underwhelmed with the U-18s playing up last year at the national program, but that is pretty common. Like, it's hard to just go there and dominate the U-18s. If you're dominating the U-18s as a 17-year-old, it's because you're Jack Hughes and you're going to go first overall. So, like, it's not too surprising. He's playing a lot better this year. You know, he's point per game. I can't imagine that he doesn't go in the top 10.
And so these ratings, an A rating indicates a first-round candidate, B, second/third-round candidate, and C, fourth, fifth, or sixth-round candidate. I wish they had a, like, plus system. So, like, A plus would be, all right, you're a top-five player, because I think everyone knows Shane Wright is that guy this year. So it would have been cool to see him at the top of the list, but they're not interested in, you know, plus or minuses, so they just have him in the same category as Uri Slafkovsky, Matt Savoy, and a bunch of other guys like Brad Lambert.
Yeah, they want to give themselves as much like subjectivity as they can so they don't look too bad. Like if someone is too highly rated, too lowly rated, if they give someone an A+ and all of a sudden they're falling to the end of the first round, like a Joe Valeno type situation, you know, they're going to feel worse about that. So they try to keep it as little like, you know, up for grabs as possible.
If you had to put a top five list out there right now, just a very way too early on that we're going to look back on and just laugh because of how terrible it is. What would you say? Who are five? You don't even have to say like this guy's going to be one, this guy's going to be two, but who are like five names you would look out for right now that you personally have in that top five range?
Well, I'll say it was going to be one. It's Shane Wright. Like that's obviously a lock. It's not a hard
question. Well, I mean, Nolan Patrick was supposed to be number one.
Yeah, but Shane Wright is Shane Wright and Nolan Patrick was Nolan Patrick. So okay. Shane Wright is number one. Two through five, I don't want to safely like proclaim anything yet, so I'll just kind of give a list of names. I'll give four more names of guys who I really think are right there. Uri Slafkovsky playing in the Finnish league this year. He's you know a big body power forward, someone that we've talked about before. He's got some good offensive finishing too. He's someone who I think has you know the physicality to make the NHL right away, and that's usually half the battle with these prospects. So he's someone that we could see in the NHL as soon as next year. Joachim Kemmel, like coming into the year. You know, I thought he was like a you know good player, not someone I had a whole lot of knowledge about, but he's the leading scorer in the Finnish league now. He's pretty much scoring at a goal per game, just below. You really can't discredit that. And right now, like I would be hard pressed not putting him in that top five. Matthew Savoy, you know, he is someone that is getting faded for some reason. I really like the way he plays. He's a smaller guy. He moves like the wind. He's not afraid to get physical. His offensive abilities might be slightly lower than what we thought they could have been at first. You know, I thought it could have been maybe a 100-point guy easy every year in the NHL. That might not be the case, but, like, you know, if he goes in the top five, if he scores 70 points every year and plays the way that he does, that's an unreal hockey player for your team. So, you know, I think he's still getting his credit too. And then, you know, here it's kind of a toss-up. I'm going to go two names just for the hell of it. I'm going to go Connor Geeky and Simone Namich. So, Connor Geeky is big power forward. Morgan and his brothers in the NHL in Seattle right now. Simon Namich is a Slovakian defenseman. Him and Seamus Casey are really going to battle out for number one and two for me right now. I'm going to give the edge to Namich. He is an A-graded player, so you know at least I got that right. But those are all really guys that I would not be completely surprised if they can make the jump right away.
I think this is going to be a really fun group of players to continue to look at going forward into the draft because there is a lot of players. Like you said, five to six guys could be playing next year after they get drafted, and there's just a lot of really fun players to look at. Slafkovsky, who you've talked about, a very big power forward, but can score at will. That's a guy I'm very curious to look at.
And skate too.
Yeah, and Brad Lambert, a guy who has a Canadian dad, and he goes over to Finland. Brad Lambert gets born over there, and He's a really good hockey player, too. So there's just a lot of fun names to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Lambert's a very hard omission on the list. He's right there, too. But, like, I really like this draft class a lot. I think that, you know, in a normal draft year, there's one to two guys that are truly that, like, difference making piece where this draft, I think there could be three or four guys at the end of the day that kind of set themselves that way. And then after that, another 10 to 12 guys that are your locked and loaded first line centers, top defensemen, like just superstar type players where like that's a lot for a draft class.
And I got to ask, is it bad of me that I want Jack Hughes to do so damn well that we have yet another Jack Hughes draft?
No, that would be awesome, man. I mean, he's ranked as a first round pick. He's going to go in the top two rounds unless something drastic happens. He is really damn good. You know, I think we talked about it like a year ago. I mentioned this kid, like we were talking about like a future look in the 2022 draft and how we would just love, you know, a line with Jack Hughes, Jack Quinn, and then the Hughes on defense. How awesome that would be, you know. He is someone that has the potential to, you know, do some damage in the NHL. He's not going to be someone that can make the jump right away. He's going to go continue playing at Northeastern for a couple of years, but like he's got some ability, man.
And this Jack Hughes has no relation, so.
No, not at all.
If any of you are wondering, that is not the case. All right, Chase, let's now move on to our.
And real quick.
Oh, okay.
I'd be remiss to say Ivan Rochachenko. He's probably someone I should put in that top five, too, even though I didn't. I just kind of didn't think of him. Mm. He probably should be in the top five, so I'd probably just move both Geeky and Namich down and have Marochnichenko in there.
Is he an A on?
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. All right, last little piece of news here. The Premier Hockey Federation, formerly known as the NWHL, they signed an exclusive broadcasting rights with ESPN.
Yeah, so the now main professional women's hockey league in North America is going to be streamed on ESPN, ESPN Plus, all 60 regular season games, as well as the playoffs going to the Isabel Cup. So that's cool. It's good for women's hockey. They're getting that exposure. You know, the NHL has obviously made the transition to ESPN, TNT. Now the you know, PHF is going to be in that same boat. And it's just good for the game in general. As much exposure as we can get to all aspects of hockey, I mean, better. I want the NHL. I want professional women's. I want sled hockey. I want everything that we can get on as much TV as possible just because I just want to grow this game.
The more hockey ESPN owns the rights of, that means the more hockey we see on the SportsCenter top 10s and all of that, which is what we want to see because for a long while, it was just painful because there was zero hockey whatsoever on ESPN. So This is a step in the right direction. We love to see it. Finally, Chase, hockey name of the day here. This is not the name you talked about before the episode actually started.
No, it is not.
Okay. Well, we got, I don't want to say Livio. Livio does not sound right. So I'm going to go Livio. I don't know. Livio Curtin Trog.
The VO, Quirin Trog.
No.
Yes. So, our boy, the VO, he is a Swiss-born forward, 17 years old. He is draft eligible this upcoming year, fun enough. And he's someone who...
He's got an A grade?
No.
Oh.
I wonder if he's even... I don't even know if he's like on this list. But regardless, he's someone who is someone... like he has a decent chance to get drafted. Playing in the Swiss U-20 league, had 10 points through 8 games, got called up to the second level pro league, 3 points through 9 games, playing pretty well over there, 5'9", 168 forward. He's pretty skilled, he's played internationally at the U-18s. Someone that, you know, we might see on NHL radars coming up soon. You know, he's a late 03 birthday, so he's going to be a little bit older in the draft class, which could be a little bit against him. But who knows, maybe someone takes a flyer on him.
Yeah, and we like to see guys that end up on Hockey Name of the Day actually getting into the NHL, so... This seems like it's probably the closest chance to have that opportunity that I can at least remember. So that's very cool. That's going to do it for the show. Chase, outro.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us out on Patreon, support us over there. We'd really appreciate it. Just a way to get extra content from the network. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While I write it, follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod. That's WMP Sports Pod. That way you get all the content that you need. Go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts network there. Boom, click the logo. Listen, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. You know, while you're going to go check out our blogs, so, you know, why not? We got some fun stuff that you can read. Wherever listening, if you rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. We really appreciate it. Whatever you do not forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.